Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So excited. We are doing our first show of the tour tonight in San Francisco. You all better be there because we're talking Salt Lake City Reunion part one, because we are doing the reunion. We're recapping the first half in San Francisco, the second half in San Diego, which is tomorrow. So thanks for everyone for being patient, and can't wait to see everyone and kick off the tour in the Bay Area with perhaps some of the Bay Area betches. So that's gonna be so fun. And then, of course, a week from tomorrow is the Golden Crappies. If you can't make it, be sure to stream it with Kizwee. The link is on our website, watchwithcrappens.com. That's also where you get tickets for San Francisco, San Diego, and really all of our shows. It's also where you find our links to Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchwithcrappens. We're doing Traders recaps there for our bonus episodes. And we also are on video, like right now. Okay. So it's just like a very exciting time for us. We are so thrilled for what's coming down the pike over the next week or so with the Golden Crappies. We hope you guys can join for any and all aspects of the Crappens tour and experience.
Of the festivities.
Yes.
I'm excited. I don't think I'm ready for this New York City cold, though. I'll tell you that much.
I am not. I'm in a short sleeve. Look. I'm in a short sleeve shirt today, and I don't even know how we're going to deal with this freezing ass cold.
Gird your loins, Ben. Gird them. All right, let's get into Southern Charm, season 10, episode 7. My main thought on this episode was, wow, I don't think I've ever seen so much tuba footage in my life. This was a lot of tuba footage. There's a lot about a girl playing a girl who loves her tuba. And yeah, I don't.
Her small tuba. They call that tuba a J tuba.
I like the girl. I mean, I really like Molly, but I don't know about this direction. I want to be in that production meeting where they're like, let's follow the girl with the tuba. You know what's going to really inspire people? The tuba segment. Let's just do a really long episode focused around a tuba girl. What the fuck?
Well, it was also really fun to see this entire cast try to pretend like they were civilized by going to a concert hall and listening to classical music or whatever that was they were playing. And they were all just sitting there pretending like they were engaged and they cared. And Shep's doing his little, like, he was like conducting with his fingers. I was like, okay.
Shep, the classiest, most educated one in his mind, is sitting there like acting like a jackass doing double.
Like a kid.
Oh, so embarrassing. He might as well have just been eating with his mouth open at the concert. He's so embarrassing. I can't with that guy.
I know. Anyway, it was a fun episode. It was kind of like a return to JT with the group, and it went as well as you would expect. So
previously on Beta Show, as JT and Craig moved past the bitch comment heard around the world, me and Austin were fit to be tied to some corn because I'm born to corn. Meanwhile, Taylor was questioning Sally's past actions if Sally was ready to move towards a friendlier future.
And then we see Taylor. Taylor's face really doesn't move. Whatever. No. You're young. You don't need that much Botox, babe. Like, don't start doing all. I mean, get a little. You know, they say you don't get wrinkles if you start getting Botox young. But you can move your face a little bit. I mean, what the hell? Like, the only thing that moves is her lower lip. She's just like, her teeth kind of stick out. It's too much.
She's like the alpha stage AI. It was like AI from like 7 years ago where it's like, okay, well, she can answer the questions. We just haven't animated her yet.
Yeah. So we see a little bit of that. And then Sally decided to flip the script on Tyler. And we just basically see Sally like, yeah, well, sorry about your boyfriend, but people don't trust you in this group. Then Taylor had a huge reaction facially. She was like, what?
It was so animated. I mean, it was like you can really see what she's thinking on her face because there's so many expressions at any given time, you know? It's like, Taylor, come on, poker face already. Am I right?
Yeah. And Taylor's doing this thing where she's like, oh, I'm the star of the show now. And if you look on paper, Taylor has been on the show a long time, really. But she's not the star of the show. Like, she can't walk out every episode. She can't do a flurry walk out every episode. Like, you're not Kyle Richards. I mean, it's annoying with Kyle Richards, but you're no Kyle Richards. You know what I mean? You haven't earned this.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, you know, when you just see, like, she's like plain Cheerios. It's like, what? There's so many other Cheerios. Why is plain Cheerios? Why is that still, like, in a world where we have Honey Nut?
What does that mean?
In a world where we have Honey Nut, we have plain, like, it's like there's so many, like, colorful
and interesting. Cheerios. I thought you were saying she's playing Cheerios. I was like, what's that? I want to
believe that sounds like a British Cheerios. You know what? She's just playing Cheerios. You know what?
Playing Cheerios, yeah.
She's like playing Cheerios, like, allegedly good for the heart.
Yeah, she's off-brand Rice Krispies with no sweetener. Your booze.
Anyway, Taylor is like plain off-brand Cheerios. So, Craig, and then Madison says, and Craig kicked his feud with Austin into high gear. And Craig is like, how much would I have to give you to sign papers that say Craig owns Pillows and Beer right now? Are we doing this? Wow. Wow, Craig. Wow.
Wow. How much do you think that is worth, Pillows and Beer? And why would you want to still call it Pillows and Beer? Just start a podcast called Pillows.
Pillows and Pillows. Pillow Talk. Like, why is it not called Pillow Talk? Does he have a podcast called Pillow Talk? He's got to have one.
I think Paige has one that's, I don't know, she probably wouldn't call it Pillow Talk, but doesn't she do something maybe for Amazon Live that's like,
In Bed with Paige.
And she just lays in bed because that's her thing on Summer House. Everybody says she just lies in bed all day.
Yeah.
So she has like an Amazon Live show where she's just in bed.
Well, you know what's so funny about that is that we got a press release about Amanda Bettula and Sierra doing some sort of like bed thing. And it's like they were doing some sort of tie in with beds. And I just kind of felt like that's cool that you guys are capitalizing off of this, but I kind of feel like the bed is sort of like Paige's thing. And it's like maybe Sierra, although Sierra has famously the messiest bed on Bravo, but I don't see Amanda. I just never think of Amanda as bed forward, even though she's often in bed, but it's like she goes there to sulk and retreat, whereas the others go there for like gossip and chit chat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Sierra kind of took on the bed thing after Hannah left, but it's not really her thing. Yeah, her thing is messy bed. If Sierra does something, she should do like room organizers, you know, or like trash cans for your bedroom where you can throw trash away instead of putting it on top of your bed.
Well, this is okay. I'm reading the press release. Congratulations, PR people. You did your job. But like, this is such a strange headline. It says Summer House duo Sierra Miller and Amanda Bettula embrace bed rotting with kind snacks. Is that what that's called when you hang out on your bed? Bed rotting?
Rotting? I don't like that.
I don't feel like that's a term I want to associate with my food, my kind bar.
Yeah, me neither.
What about like bed surfing?
Sierra's bed rot. Ugh.
Bed rot. The queens of bed rotting. I just think of like bed sores and.
Yes.
Is this a thing? It is a thing. This is a phrase. Okay, look how young and hip we are. Bed rotting is a phrase from social media wherein a person stays in bed for an entire day without engaging in daily activities and chores. So my friend, remember Diana from Sweden? She says that in Sweden, they call that a duvet day. And I think that's a much better phrase than bed rotting. Duvet day, where you hang out under your duvet all day long and have a wonderful day.
I say I'm marinating, but that's kind of gross too. Because that brings up juices. That brings juices into it. I'm not necessarily marinating in juices or anything, but I call it marinating or just bed day. You know, like I need a bed day.
Yeah. I honestly, I want to really, I really want to recommend saying duvet day. It feels nice. It actually feels like you're not just hanging out in bed and having like a marination. It feels, when you say you're having a duvet day, you actually feel like you're doing something a little elegant and slightly European.
Well, yeah, and you can sound like Carl, like, oh, I do bed day. I do duvet day because that's how they do it in Sweden. And I was there. So.
I will never say that I'm bed rotting because I'm the last thing I'm that's doing is good. Rotting. I'm
yeah, literally you're supposed to start torsion. Rotting like after age 30 or something, right? Your body starts to decompose slowly.
Yeah. I will tell you exactly when I rot the most is when I watch Amanda and Sierra on Summer House.
Yeah.
That is called brain rotting.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So we open over at Austin's house and he's watering a plant. And this is the like, he's watering a plant. Madison's snipping a plant. Hey, watch a frog come out of here, little beta frog. And then Rod's spreading his face and checking his wrinkles. And he's like, wrinkle, wrinkle, little star. And I was proud of him for that because that was great that they came up with something for Rod for this one.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, relatable. And then we land on Molly and she's playing her euphonium, a.k.a. her mini tuba. And her dog, her golden doodle, is just not impressed. Golden Doodle's like, unless you're walking me or feeding me, I don't really care what you're doing over there.
Yeah, dogs are just stuck with you. They're your prisoner and they're just used to it. My dog does that whenever I do my stupid piano practice or whenever I do the show. You guys see him in the back of me usually just laying there like, please fucking just kill me. He's like, can I, if I had opposable thumbs, I'd give myself the shot. Like, I can't take this anymore. You know, but he has nowhere to run. So he just lays there and looks very sad. There.
Doesn't want to miss the meal. So we now go to Vanita. Vanita had full-fledged scenes this episode. I was so proud of her. She was not part of the watering houseplant montage that we got just now. She actually has multiple scenes where she got to engage with people and not drown. So she goes to Sally's house and it's still, they're doing that thing. I wonder if Bravo tells people after you have a party, you're not allowed to clean up because this is like a Bravo thing that the day after the party, all the shit is left out. And I swear to God, I'm not like Emmy on Southern Hospitality. I am not spick and span, but I am tidy enough that like, even if I have a party, I'm going to put away the food because we don't want the bugs to come in. And there was shit all over the place. And I'm sorry when you like between Sally and her mother, Charlotte, I just don't believe they're leaving that food out.
I do.
Really?
Yeah. Why do you think they did? You think they just did it because production told them we need a messy house?
I think so.
Listen, production's not doing shit for the plot. They followed a tuba all episode. Okay.
I just don't see Charlotte.
Production like, is.
I don't
is
see Charlotte letting that food. Okay. Listen, that entire party went by. And I guarantee Charlotte was sitting at the window saying, can't wait for these people to leave so I can soup into action and clean it up like a good mom. Like, I feel like this was Charlotte's moment was to clean up that half-eaten muffin that they focused on.
The worst was the big wedge of blue cheese. That was just nasty. Yeah. With the fly right on top, eating it all over it. It was just nasty. Don't do that.
Well, maybe they had to leave it out because they were shooting Fly Southern Charm. The fly was like, hey, so I decided to have a pool party at Sally's. So I invited everyone.
The fly, JT like, fly I was invited. That girl over. She deserved it. Oh, God.
Yeah. There's a smaller fly that comes by. They're like, well, we decided to let JT fly back into the group.
He lives on a fly plantation. He's just like, it's normal now. It's just like a normal house now. Everybody stop stressing. Why are you so mad?
But it's just
he's all protesting that they're trying to take down a fly statue from the 1800s.
The fly statue, of course, in this case, is just like a breadstick that's been left out. They have a totally different. The Shep fly is like, Karsh, there's my old house. It's just a carrot stick in a cup.
Yeah. So they're cleaning and Vanita's like, oh, hey, I have a new outlook on life, you know, due to almost drowning. And I was so sad because she referenced her drowning like. Her almost drowning thing like three times. And I was like, that's so sad that to Vanita, that's like her biggest plot. You know, she's like, I did it. I have a plot. I know I'm going to make the preview cuts.
People were like really mad at Vanita on Twitter. So mad at her.
Why? What'd she do?
They were mad that she jumped in and then almost drowned. They were like, really? You know, you're barely on this season and then you pull a stunt like this.
Oh, for Christ's sake. We're all allowed to choke.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Here's the thing with Vanita. Like, I worry for her because she did get the most scenes, but she's literally selling her soul to the devil to do it. Like, you have to make out with JT to be on the show. Like, that's just so sad. Like, she doesn't deserve that.
I know. And there's like a part of me that roots for JT, but he really does fuck it up. I'm actually very aligned with Craig on this one, which is like, there's like parts of JT. I think that like he has stood up for a thing. Like I loved when he stood up to Austin last season, but it is so performative and there is an insincerity about it. And there's definitely, you can feel that he is putting on for the cameras. And I have to say on this show, this is probably the Bravo show that has the least amount of that. Like where people are like, it's just, I feel like it's like not the Charleston way to be crazy for the cameras the way like a Brittany Bateman would on Salt Lake City. So the fact that JT does it really sticks out, you know, and that's so annoying to me.
Yeah, he's gross. And then Vanita did some press this week where she was talking about JT and she said that he just ghosted her. And then next she knew he had a girlfriend, like he hard launched a girlfriend on Instagram. That's so gross. Like that guy's such a pig. Yeah, he's just looking for the cameras.
Listen, Ronnie, excuse you. He was standing up for what was good and real. Okay. So if that means ghosting Vanita, then it means ghosting Vanita.
I stand for the truth. What did he say today? He was something like, as the principles of the truth of the matter. I was like, okay, Thomas Ravenel Jr. Like, you know, you're going to need another bridge. Okay. You don't get, you haven't earned that. I'm going to say this to you and Taylor. You have not earned that.
So Vanita's asking about last night and, she doesn't like that Taylor left the party abruptly. And Sally's like, yeah, I think that she was upset that I said people here said that they don't trust her. And Vanita's like, but she knows that we've all said that to her. And she also tells us that like after the reunion, everyone basically told her like, we'll be cordial with you. But because of like what Taylor and Austin did behind Olivia's back, it's just not going to be like a, hey, let's hang out. You know, they have to kind of, it has to be earned back.
Yeah. And because they're all so respectful to each other. That's another thing that cracks me up. I mean, they're acting this whole episode so high and mighty, like they're all so respectful of each other and they can't believe somebody's starting shit at a party. That's what you do. That's what all you douchebags do. So now we go to Taylor's and Taylor is chewing something, which is impressive because she's moving her mouth. I was like, wow, is this like special effects? And she's like, So then Gaston comes. What, can we stop ugly shaming Gaston? Especially Shep. Shep looks like a baseball glove and he's coming. He looks like a baseball glove with wooden teeth with like little bits of cracker flying out of his mouth. Why is he making fun of somebody's looks? I do Gaston.
Yeah, I mean, although between Shep and Gaston, it's like you have a full wiffle ball set there. I mean, honestly. So, Gaston, yeah, I mean.
You're like, nope, I will keep look shaming Gaston. He's a wiffle ball.
Like, listen, there are many pieces of a wiffle ball set that he could be part of. He could be the big red bat, you know? But the point is this. Like, is Gaston the... Is he the most handsome Gaston we've seen in pop culture? Maybe not. But it's hard to live up to Beauty and the Beast Gaston because even though Beauty and the Beast Gaston was a dick, he was pretty hot. And I feel like Gaston has a lot to live up to. When you have a name like Gaston, I think there's like an implication of a certain base level of hotness. And like, that's a lot to live up to.
Yeah. So she takes her dogs out and she's like, I remember the moment that I fell in love with Gaston. We were at dinner and then talking to him was like talking to my best friend. And then I was like, I'm going to spend so much time with him. It's going to be like a good chunk of my life. I don't want to say marriage because I don't want to jinx it quite yet. Oh, my God. Look, does DoorDash deliver pickers? Because you need one. Get on there. Find a picker, okay? I think Gaston's kind of cute, but he's an asshole, okay? We all know he's an asshole. Want a TV. He's about to show up in 5 minutes to be on TV. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Gaston has like a cute quality. I actually really enjoy his ears. And, you know, he sort of has that kind of like there every now and then someone comes onto Bravo who has kind of like that Chicken Run kind of vibe. And I always find that to be very endearing. But this guy seems like he's like the worst. And it's time for Taylor to go to therapy or something. And like just like you said, work on that picker a little bit. Work on the picker. Find someone. Maybe get out of Charleston. Maybe find a man in a different city away from this TV show.
So she's like, yeah. she tells him, this is my favorite line, I think, of the episode. I'm sad you're not coming to Molly's tuba concert.
Establishing a tone for the episode.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much.
No, it made me laugh too.
She's like, but I think Sally will be there. And he's like, ugh. And she's like, as far as the girls go, I'm in better graces with everybody. But then I heard that Sally told me that people don't trust me.
Yeah. And she's like, it's like I wrong one person who knows all these people. And I feel like they're mad at me because this whole situation, kind of a shitty feeling. I'm like, yeah, that's called reputation. That's what happens. If you wrong someone and they have a right to tell their friends, like, this person wronged me. And then the friends have a right to be like, yeah, I don't like that person anymore. That's just the way it goes. That's why you don't wrong people.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980, when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK. Featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer Elle Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So Taylor's like, I'm trying to build back trust I lost with the girls because of everything that happened last year. And it seems like Sally is trying to reinforce their opinions of me. I actually am not getting the sense that Sally is really going hard for Taylor. I'm getting the sense that she's going hard for Gaston, and that like the running thread here is that Gaston is a piece of shit and he cheats with one person, gets with the next person, and he's always overlapping. And there's just like an expiration date on this because he's going to cheat soon enough.
Yes. I also get the feeling that Sally's like maybe kind of trying to be friends with Taylor in a weird way, because they're both new girls and they both have somebody that can unite them in plot and get them scenes on the show, which is Gaston. So I think she's trying to be like, hey, come on over here. Let's talk. I'll tell you some gossip. No one trusts you or whatever. I think, you know, because when you tell people someone's talking shit about you, that's usually to try and get them on your side in some way. So I think Sally, in her weird way, is trying to make an effort, because look, it's Charleston. They've all fucked the same dudes and the dudes have all fucked the same ladies. You know, it's just how it is. We've learned that on this show. So it's like being in a gay bar. You can't get mad that somebody slept with another gay guy. It's what we do. You know,
yeah,
it's like, are you going to get mad at a knitter for wearing homemade mittens? No, it's what we do. To our penis color.
I might get mad at them. I might get mad at them. I'm like, why are you wearing mittens? It's July. I think that's context based, to be honest. But what I will say is, yes, they do have triple overlap, these two women. So they should be friends and they should be drinking martinis together. And maybe they will soon enough once Taylor and Gaston go their separate ways.
Yeah, because like, look, if you meet somebody and you're like, oh my God, that Soap Dish is your favorite movie? Me too. Well, my other one is Big Business. And they're like, oh my God, me too. And then you're like, you know what really makes me cry every time? The Color Purple. And they're like, oh my God, me too. God, I love Fantasia's voice, but she can't act. I hate you now. I hate you now. No, that's not how it is. You have things in common. You're like, let's go to coffee. You don't hate each other. These three have three penises in common. They should like each other. You know, you already know you like the same things.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're two-thirds of the way there in the movie example. So,
not the musical. I meant the regular one.
The regular, the one that came out last year, right?
No, the Steven Spielberg one.
Oh, regular one. Oh, yeah. So, guess regular
one. The regular. Original flavor, yeah.
So, Gaston, she's... does this thing, and Gaston says, well, at the end of the day,
you get nothing for nothing, and that's all you can say for the life of the poor. You're mixing musicals, Gaston.
You're in the wrong one. I mean, you could sing that song if you want, Be Our Guest, but you're in the wrong musical at the moment. Yeah. So he's like, well, you apologize and the ball's in their court and you don't need to go there and roll over and be like, pet my belly. So then we go back to Sally's house. Vanita's like, yeah, we don't have to be buddy-buddy with everyone, but I'm nervous she's going to try to, like, not come around. We're like, we want her to come around enough that she feels like she's not part of the group, but not enough so that way she moves on from the group. We want her to still be on the outskirts. You can only be on the outskirts of the group if you stay within the group, and we need her to stay within the group so that way we can show that she's not in with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Vanita's like, listen, I haven't been in this group long, but the length of time I've been here has taught me one thing. They need somebody to bully. So I need Sally to be here enough to bully, or Taylor enough to bully, and then she can go away again, you know?
So Sally's like, do you think that Gaston doesn't want her around? And Vina's like, I think there's something to it. I think that he's very protective over her. And Sally's like, well, I hope she's not getting in trouble for me having his name in my mouth. I mean, she can't control what I said.
And she's like, well, she seems happy. Does she? She seems like a walking fucking piece of, she looks like a walking dish sponge. There's nothing going on. She doesn't even move her face. How can you tell she's happy?
I've literally never seen Taylor happy in like however many years she's been on the show. Too. So I don't know.
If I saw that girl sitting at a bus stop, I'd put a straw in her mouth and help her drink.
Like when I see her, I just feel like I automatically hear Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. Any song by Sarah McLachlan. It's just like, just hanging over her like a cloud.
So now we go to JT, Craig, and Shep going to fish together, doing some manly things.
Fishing.
Murdering innocent animals. Actually, I eat fish. So I might not after this, though, because fishing is gross. So Craig's like, well, apparently Austin is here in spirit. Letting people live rent-free in your head is a poison. And the only person Austin is hurting by staying mad at JT is himself.
Says Craig, who then is mad at JT for the rest of the episode. The reason why he says that is because the boat captain is named Austin. It's insane. The SS, it's insane right now, Madison.
If you point your fingers at somebody, you've got three fingers pointing at you, and then you're also giving a thumbs up to somebody, but I don't know who that person would be. You know what I'm saying?
So they get on the boat, and JT hasn't really gone fishing, and Shep is like, how have you never been saltwater fishing? I mean, didn't you go fishing on the yacht you grew up on like every normal child in America? He's like, no, I golf. It's a lot drier there. And he's like, but it's important to cultivate all sorts of new hobbies. For instance, my favorite hobby is watching the Vietnam War by Ken Burns. Sorry, I just can't contain myself.
I love that Shep just assumes that everybody has all day, every day to have hobbies. You know, some people have jobs and rent to pay, Shep. Okay. We can't all go fishing and golfing.
Not everyone has access. Not everyone has access to also fishing holes, by the way. I mean, it's not like that does like require a certain amount of, you know, a lot of people do, but a lot of people can't just like grab a, first of all, you have to have a fishing bowl, which is not necessarily cheap, and you have to be able to like, what, you have to go to a lake or
you better check your fishing privilege.
You better check your fishing privilege, okay, madam. Okay.
So JT's like, well, I'm hoping to cultivate our relationship, and therefore fishing could be fun. I'm going to work at it, boys. I'm going to work at it. I know men are like, it's a gender thing. You got to hunt, you got to fish, but I have really no interest in fishing. None.
I have to say, I don't like fishing either. And it's not even a, it's not an ethical thing. Sorry. Sorry, animal activists. I literally just ate some smoked salmon right now. It's just like, I don't find it to be that interesting or like that fun.
Well, and I find that when you finally catch a fish, it was smoking.
And when you finally catch a fish, it's so chaotic that I actually really find that to be an unpleasant part of it. The flopping around. I'm like, I can't, it's over, fish. Just stop resisting. But, yeah,
we're talking about checking privilege. I think one of the moments I had to check my privilege was when I was in therapy one time and had to talk about traumas in my life. And one of my biggest, like, early traumas, I guess I didn't realize, was killing a fish, because I remember having to kill that, like, going to a dad and son thing with my dad. It was called Indian Guides. It's pretty problematic, but that's what it was. And so we learned all sorts of, like, outdoorsy things, like to be one with the natives. And we went fishing, and we had to catch that fish, and then you have to grab it, and you have to slam it into a rock to knock it out, and then you have to gut it. I've never been so traumatized. And my dad's like, all you do is bang it and then grab a knife and slice it up. And I did not want to look at my dad for months after that. I think I still have a problem with my dad for that. I was like, that is disgusting. And how could you pass that on to me? And then I realized later, that's a privilege. You know, that's one of your biggest traumas, going fishing. Like, it almost killed me, you guys. It almost killed me.
Oh, God, I wish you were on one of these Real Housewives shows. That way you could have had a teary confessional. Be like, I remember one time watching that fish just slamming its head against the rock.
My Real Housewives of New York storyline. I'm so sorry I called you all the C word, but it's because I went fishing when I was young. Victim cloak, fishing victim cloak.
Well, I went fishing once when I was an intern in New York City and I first moved here. And, well, actually, I didn't go fishing, but I went to the fish market and it was disgusting. So I get it.
Who was that?
Jessel trying to relate her to Alma. Who's a callback to last season?
Jessel. That's funny. So Shep's like, so yeah. I mean, where is JT even from? I mean, come on. Even in Nebraska, you have a little fishing hole. Come on. As a young boy, someone surely took you fishing and taught you how to eat peanuts like this. Can we please make a rule that Shep doesn't get to eat on camera anymore? I can't. I'm as traumatized as when I went fishing. And it's Shep eating while they're fishing. I can't.
Yeah. So JT tells us, I mean, if there's water, I get nervous. I mean, some people are scared of heights. Not me, for obvious reasons, because I'm not there yet. But I'm afraid of deep, murky water. Not my vibe. And then now he's being silly, because now he has to hold the bait, which is like fish. And then he's like, oh, he's being silly and throwing it in the water. And they're like, JT, just like grab the fish. I've never given someone more chances in my entire fucking life. I'm like, excuse me, have you seen your two friends, Shep and Austin? This entire show is about you guys squabbling and then becoming friends again at the start of the next season. But
I've never seen anybody get more chances than you, sir.
How about that?
Speaking of,
how about that? I know.
So then we see JT, like JT's big evil thing. I'm gonna perform the first ever fuckboy exorcism.
Yeah. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to say no to the nice guy, but you just hope the crazy guy stays home. I'm like, well, could we show footage of Craig being sweet and charming, and then also Craig on Winterhouse refusing to clean up any of his messes because he feels like there are other people that should do that for him? Because, you know, the truth is, a lot of us have that nice side and monster side.
Yeah. So they catch a big old fish and they release it back because they're on TV and they don't want to listen to it from fucking Instagram comments.
That's exactly right. There's no way they're giving that fish back if their cameras aren't there. You know that was pissed Shep off so much.
Yeah. So now we go to Whitney's bachelor pad in the back of his mom's house. Is that in the back of his mom's house, right?
Yeah, it's like a garage that he turned into like his bar. And he has one of those like embedded coffee machines. And like, this is the thing on Bravo these days. People do not know how to use their coffee machines. I feel like we saw it twice last week. And now here's Whitney, who's like, oh, mother, the espresso's not coming out, mother. Oh, 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 no espresso, mother. So Austin comes over.
You have a PhD in astrophysics to run the coffee machine.
Do you want some Pappy Van Winkle?
So good. So good.
I love some Pappy Van Winkle. You know, who doesn't have a PhD in astrophysics? Pappy Van Winkle.
And then he drinks his $1,000 bottle of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon. So they go upstairs and he sits next to his 20 guitars. Then Madison comes and she's like, I love this place. It reminds me of my soul. Dark, murky, moody, loves corn.
Alpha. So Austin's like, Madison, how many girls has Whitney banged on this couch? And Madison's like, I don't know. I told Whitney and me and Brett totally banged in the bathroom. And he was like, what? He's like, oh, not near the Pappy Van Winkle. Oh.
He has a $15,000 Japanese toilet.
Insane right now. So it's time to gossip. So they're like, did you see that photo on Shep's Instagram? And there's a pic of the three guys holding up that fish. And Austin's like, yeah, I kind of took it as like a slap. I'm like, how do you think the fish felt? Okay. He's like, I texted back Shep. And I was like, man, you guys are all assholes. I'm sorry. If you're fishing and you catch a fish, the first thing you do is take a photo. I don't think it was a slap in the face. It was like a standard fishing photo procedure.
We don't have to post it on Instagram.
Where else are you going to post your fish photo?
Nowhere. You keep it.
Fishtagram?
You keep it. You put it on your Apple TV things. You can slyly be like, oh, yeah, that's the time I caught a huge fish. Sorry, I don't know why that's on there.
You know where I'd post it? Snapfish.
I would post it in my trauma book.
I would post it on Threads. I don't know. Remember Flickr? Those were the days. Let's post it on Yahoo. Let's post it on GeoCities. So anyway, Austin is very offended because he didn't get to hold the fish or be part of it. And he's like, I took it as kind of like a slap. I text it back. Yeah. And Madison's like, I'm with you back, Craig. I thought he was a genuine friend and I thought he would choose me over JT, but it seems to me that that's not the case. And she says, the reason I'm mad at Craig, Craig's calling me on the side saying, we're done with this guy. And I'm like, yeah, say less. No, literally stop talking. You really know him. And then now he's going fishing. Now I'm mad. Mad as sin.
Here's the thing, guys. If you're going to kick somebody off the cast, which is what you're not even being subtle about, you're all trying to ice him out from the cast. You have to do something. You can't just kick somebody off the cast and then just sit around your house all day, you know, pouring IC. Like, you have to actually do something. Keep the messy people. You have to do less, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, Austin's
also,
like, yeah,
Madison's best when she has somebody to yell at. You need somebody to yell at. He's there. Use him.
Yeah. So, Austin is like, yeah, then Craig told me he basically wants to dissolve our podcast, basically.
For good?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on here? It's insane. And she's like, and Whitney's like, well, you didn't have an answer. Which is maybe why your podcast is failing. And he's like, well, I haven't thought about it.
Well, suddenly, Craig, he's become a bit sanctimonious and judgmental. You know, thinking that he has to move on from Austin because Austin is, you know, not behaving to his standards. So, and Austin's like, no, it's because I went to Craig and I gave him some criticism and he's not able to handle that criticism whatsoever.
You know, Austin has a great track record of taking criticism, so I really feel his pain here. Austin is then like, and now he's like, I'm taking my basketball and I'm going fucking home, which is also true. So Austin's like, he's like, Craig and I have been together for like so long that I just thought that the friendship meant like more to him. And it's like becoming increasingly clear to me he doesn't give a shit about friendship. I think he literally sees dollar signs in everything he does. God forbid. God forbid someone on this cast earns a few dollars doing something.
So he's like, I'm sad. I'm so sad. So then we go to nighttime and we're at Craig's and they're going over to Craig's after fishing. Well, Shep and Craig do. So they cook and Shep's like, I get to cut the pineapple. Oh my God. How am I going to do that? Come on, Shep. Surely in Nebraska, even, they have a pineapple and a fucking knife.
Don't you cut don't you cut pineapple on your fishing trips? So he's like, dude, I wish we could have cooked the fish we caught, but they were too big. That's what we'll tell people. They needed to be smaller fish because everyone knows the first rule of fishing. You always want the small fish instead of the big fish. Gosh, I can't believe we let that thing go.
You want to name the fish Austin?
Yeah, he texted me really upset. He thinks it was, we took a picture of the fish as a jab at him.
You guys, it's season 10, and this is your fight. Austin's mad that you named a dead fish after him. Come on, man. Bring in the writers.
It's really not. No, it's not. It's not a jab. It had nothing to do with Austin. It just had to do with making him feel bad that we're not friends anymore.
Well, you know what? He spirals for all the wrong reasons. We went fishing. That's it. It's ridiculous. Gosh.
And so now Craig turns on all his like fire pits and Shep is like, Eureka! And there, you know, Craig is once again selling his house in the sense of like that it should be like the locus of all activities. Like, this is my happy spot. I'm so glad we're here.
So he's like, yeah, everybody knows if it's up to me, we just get engaged. And then we see a flashback of that dinner where Craig goes, you know, I really want a wife and family. And Rach just goes, ugh.
I mean, but she changes her mind a lot about a lot of stuff. One day she'll text me and say, let's build a farmhouse. And then the next day she'll say, I'm going to move to Charleston. And then she'll have a good day in New York and say, no, I love it up here. Why am I even talking to this yokel down in Charleston? Oops, sent that to the wrong person. Sort of weird messages.
Like me waiting a few years to have a kid, okay, but like the crazy thing is like if I wait like more than that, because like a few years can turn into like more than that, because like years keep going.
What if it turns into like 10 years? And then Craig's like, well, life is full of decisions and compromise, you know, and like, and by the way, Shep, you're talking to someone in the Bahamas because you like the person. Let's talk about you. And he's like, yeah. And the crazy thing is I don't get into girls that much. So for it to happen so quickly after Taylor, it was a bit of an epiphany. Oh, yeah. And then, by the way, I dropped the L-bomb really early with Sienna. Gosh, I'm a real changed adult. Thanks, ayahuasca.
Lubney?
No, what's that?
It's a Lebanese cheese made out of yogurt.
Why would I call her Lubney?
I don't know. What were we talking about?
I love her. I love her.
Of course you do. She's a fucking teenager beauty queen, you fucking weirdo. They, people have been sending around a clip from years ago where Shep's like,
gosh, Thomas, being in my 40s, dating someone in their 20s. I mean, it's kind of pathetic. I don't think that would ever happen to me.
Well, welcome.
Welcome.
I dropped an album to a gorgeous beauty queen who's totally my real life girlfriend.
You know, when I said it, we were not clothed. And I'll say that. And I also, then I said, gosh. And then she had a lot of saliva on her after that. But this is the first time I've really thought about the future seriously with someone.
And then last month, we see a flashback of Shep talking about her to Austin. And he's like, well, maybe this is what I meant to do for the rest of my life. Go down to the Bahamas, have some kids, sit on the beach, buy a little motel on the white sand, just be Jimmy Buffett without the guitar. I'm like, yeah, Jimmy Buffett without the guitar, significantly less interesting. you're just a guy in a Tommy Bahama shirt being annoying.
My plan is to retire and just be the buffet. That's it. Just have that. Just be the buffet. I don't need a beach. I just want a golden corral. I want a golden corral with a bed in it.
I just want a cheeseburger, and it can be in paradise, but it can also not be in paradise.
So he's like, we're exclusive, I think. I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but basically, I mean, how can you not be?
Has she seen you eat peanuts? You're not exclusive.
So now we're at Molly's house and she gets a call from her mom, Anne, because she's got her concert later and Molly's stressing out because she has a solo and she doesn't want to mess up and she messed up in rehearsal. And we're going to get some of her backstory, which is I started the tuba when I was 10 or 11 and I got like pretty much a full ride to college for music. So she rode a tuba to college, which is pretty cool. But then her modeling career took off. So she stopped playing the tuba and then she got lip filler. And now the lip filler is making it harder for her to play. So it's the challenges of being a tuba player.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough life out there. It's rough out there for a tuba girl.
Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Yeager. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Molly is saying, a couple of years ago, I like put on some 80s rock ballads and then it hit me. You need to get back into music. So I picked up that tuba and now I'm playing to Roxanne every day.
I'll tell you, when I listen to I'll Be There For You by Bon Jovi, all I think about is, let's play some tuba.
Yeah.
when I'm listening to White Lion sing, when the children cry, let them know we tried. I'm like, tuba, it's time for some tuba.
Whip it out. So she's like, yeah, it was my calling. So I was like always so good at it. And so the next day I sent my euphonium that I hadn't played in a decade off to be cleaned. Okay. So I was like, okay, so this is happening. And then it just kept going. This became like a 10-minute thing. It was a full monologue about her tuba. And she's like, yeah. So I sent my euphonium to be cleaned. And then I contacted Charleston Concert Band, which happens to be directed by my high school band teacher. And I emailed him. And I was like, I don't know if you remember me. I'm the hot girl who plays the police on her tuba.
I'm the one who sang, who played Patience by Guns N' Roses on a tuba.
And it was like, Molly, of course I remember you. And then a star was born. It's like, why was that 10 minutes? Anybody at work?
You know what? I loved it. And then Molly, she shows up at the orchestra and the entire cast, except for Austin and like maybe Madison, they all show up and they take their seats. And then Shep is like, I can't find her. I can't find her. He's like a dog with like object permanence issues. It's like the ball's behind the tree. It's gone. She's gone. She's evaporated. It's like, look behind the viola. And so.
In his defense, it is kind of hard to find one blonde in the sea of Charleston residents.
That's true.
Like, how are you supposed to find? It's like the find, you know, where's Waldo? And he's like,
by the way, the audience. Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the editors are, I think they're trying to push a narrative that Shep has secret feelings for Molly, right?
Yeah. Cause Molly was like, I mean, I guess I do him. Like, this paycheck's decent. And then Shep's like, well, I guess I would do her too, because, you know, I find the fact that she's a trained musician incredibly charming. Okay.
It was like, and he's like looking around for like, where is she? Where's the true love of my life? So then it starts, and this is where Shep starts doing his conducting fingers, which is like really embarrassing. And then JT and Vanita start talking, and I was like, why are you talking during a classical concert? I hate that. Like anytime I go to the Hollywood Bowl to see like classical music, because they do like in the summers, they do classicals on like Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's really fun. And like thousands of people show up and there's always people just yammering away. And it's like, this is not a Guns N' Roses concert. It's like for classical music, you're supposed to be like quiet and like listen and be like, you're supposed to be like
pensive.
Pensive and thoughtful, but you do want that because you actually need to really kind of like listen in a different kind of way. And then JT's like, hey, I really wish I could see you dance to this music, Vanita. I was like, quiet over there. I'm trying to listen to this tuba concerto.
And of course, her answer is, I have the perfect dress for it. So I love, she relates everything to fashion. And then we get to Molly's big tuba, and she's like,
nailed it.
She starts crying. She's like, I love music so much. I just want to do the song justice. And I did. Music really changes you. And she starts crying. She's like, I'm crying over the tuba.
Like, is she doing We Are the World? So
I mean, it was kind of cute, but she, I just like, I need her to be like, are you flirting with that guy in the, you know, the pot-bellied guy over there with the other tuba? Like, what's going on in tuba? It's just the tuba. The real okay. It's just the tuba. It's just a tuba concert.
Southern Hospitubably. That's what I would like to see. A spinoff of everyone in the symphony fucking each other. So now it's the post-party, post-tuba party at JT's event space. So everyone shows up and JT's offering drinks. When he just pulls the door off of a mini fridge, which I thought was funny. And he doesn't say anything about it. He just kind of like puts it back and is like, oh, he's like aghast that there is such a mini fridge, like that a mini fridge even exists. He, you know, in his life, it's just like all Sub-Zeros. top of the line, like fancy ass fridges. He's like, what is this strange Black and Decker thing? Oh, mother.
But I think it also probably says something about that remodel, right? Was it like a fridge cover door? You know how they build those doors over the doors? Like,
yeah, I think it was like there was a door to access the fridge area and then the door itself came. And then the fridge door itself came.
He pulled off
the door. I agree. It speaks to the workmanship of that Airbnb.
Yeah. So he pours a drink for JT. He's like, you can't have it over ice, though. Man up. Have it neat. So he's like, yeah, you know, I've never disliked JT, but in deference to Austin, you know, I've always had Austin's back. So obviously you want to defend your mother's honor, too. So I mean, it just seems hard to believe, you know, but you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. You just never know. He's the only one doing anything on this show. At least, you know, you as a producer should at least appreciate it.
I also love that having Austin's back ranks higher than his defending his mother's honor. I'm like, excuse you. Now, with Austin, you do always know what's going to come out of his mouth. it's going to be spit. So then JT is, but to be fair, that's actually half the.
And spittle.
That's also half the cast of this show, to be honest. So
seriously, they keep talking about manners on this show, but nobody closes their mouth while they eat. I can't watch these people eat. It's like when you watch a zombie movie and the people who are starving, like they finally find a can of food in some cupboard, you know, like 8 months after the zombie apocalypse. And it's like rotten green beans and they just start eating it with their hands and shoving it down their face. That's how this whole cast eats.
That's also how I eat when we're done podcasting. I'm like, argh. JT, he's like really like on pins and needles around Whitney because he knows this is like his reintroduction to the cast. It's like the first time people are willing to hang out with him en masse. So Taylor arrives and she starts like moving around. There's like a chafer of macaroni. She's like moving around to get the macaroni, I guess, more integrated. And he's like losing his mind because he's afraid that she's going to spill it all over the place, which she does not do. But I actually was nervous for him as well. I was for sure expecting that to fall all over the carpet.
And she's like, I assume that chef who just left a half eaten chicken tender right there. He's like, you know. Yeah, it is. She only seems like a normal person with any life behind her eyes when she's around Shep. Do you notice that? Because when Shep's around, she's like, well, you're only bringing one fucking plate for yourself? Nice, Shep. Go get more plates. What is this, Shep's fucking chicken wing? And then the minute it's done having to do with Shep, she's back to like, I love macaroni. I need it to not touch the sides of the aluminum.
The more people arrive, there's like champagne. Shep offers Molly champagne, but of course they make it seem like a very romantic moment. And JT's just like talking to Taylor and he's like, you know, asking how she is. They're in the kitchen and he's like taking off his blazer. She's like, oh no, leave it on. He's like, I don't care. It's just us. She goes, but your armpits sweat. He's like, do you mind? We're just friends. We're just friends who can have armpit sweat or no armpit sweat. It can go either way. That just speaks to our friendship. And I'm establishing that we have friendship because I'm about to, you know, try to, you know, rock your world in a moment.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, your scab looks good. Looks better than last time I saw you. This poor guy can't win. This is the girl he declared his love for this year. And she's like, oh my God, your pit stains. Ooh, your scab.
I know. So Shep is like walking around. And he's got like a scarf on his neck. And I think it was Leva who goes, Shep looks like a poet today. He looks like he practices tantric sex. And then it comes back to Tay. And she's like, yeah, so JT, we haven't seen each other since the horse race. And he's like, yeah, you know, you shady dipped. You didn't even say goodbye. She's like, yeah. Well, I'm glad your scab is better, like I said before. And then we cut back to Shep, and he's now talking to Sally and Vidina about tantric sex because they didn't understand Leva's joke.
Yeah, they don't know what tantric sex is, which is crazy, right?
Yeah, that is a little odd. But maybe, like, if you weren't raised in the Sting era, then speaking of the police, maybe you didn't have as much of an awareness of tantric sex.
Well, I think these are people who also grew up with internet, so they had access to like boobies and penises on their phones or whatever. And the rest of us were having to look at like National Geographics or International Mails or books on tantric sex in our libraries.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Remember when we saw Sting in the airport? Do you remember that at LAX?
What was he like?
He was like, in my mind, he was dressed like Scrooge McDuck. He was like,
he's like a pinky after you've been in the hot tub for too long.
You know what's funny? He actually was wearing a scarf like Shep, now that I think about it. And he had like a little hat on, and we're like, is that Sting? And I just like imagining that person having tantric sex is like so strange. But now that Leva has called out like the scarf tantric sex connection, like I gotta say, we saw it with our own eyes.
Yeah. So they're like, what is that? And Shep's like, oh my God, tantric sex is so stupid. It takes forever. I hate doing that. Because you know Shep's like a 2-minute wonder.
Yeah. What's the opposite of tantric?
Yeah.
It's like tantrum. One trick.
He's like tantrum.
He's a one trick wonder.
He's just like, gosh, gosh, gosh. Okay, thanks. You can go now.
Okay, I'm done. So Molly's she's right there with him. She's like, I don't need hours. My vagina will fall off. I mean, that sounds like too much work for me. I want to go to bed at 10:30. Okay. I want my lips around a tuba, not a penis. Okay. I don't want to be up doing all that. Leave me alone.
Agreed. Tantric sex is too much work. Also, it's just called kind of sex after you're 40. It just takes forever. It's like, oh God, Jesus Christ. Can we just make this happen?
So Craig is like, Whitney, what's your favorite sex position?
Downward dog.
That says a lot, right? So then Taylor is telling JT, we go back to Taylor and JT, and he's like, well, I'm trying to be delicate here, but, you know, I just know so much about Sally and Gaston's relationship. And she's like, it was a fling. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I moved my face too much. It was a fling, a fling.
No, it was month long. It was like a really good tantric sex section, you know? No, it was. She was in love with him, okay? And then he's trying to have this like talk with Taylor, and then Shep comes out of nowhere and just barges into their fridge, and he's like looking for something. It's like and just goes on for like a minute, and they're just staring at him, waiting for him to leave.
Well, maybe she was in love. Maybe she was in love with him. Maybe that's why she's dragging his name, because she's not over him.
Well, I'm just going to say something, and you're going to hate me for this, okay? But Gaston, he was cheating on my friend with Sally. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. We're not bashing my boyfriend, period. I'm going to storm out of here. I cannot stand this. Hey, everybody, I am leaving. He is being an asshole, just like this one. And she points at Sally. Sally's like, what'd I do? Jesus. I know. Trying to drag my boyfriend's name. And Sally just goes, it's an easy name to drag.
This is diabolical shit that everyone's... this is the diabolical shit that everyone's experiencing with JT. Which, by the way, we know the real reason why Taylor is storming out. It's because Gaston was like, don't go to that party. They're just going to talk shit about me. And if you have any loyalty to me, you should stay home. And she's like, I've got to go to the party. It's my job. So she goes to the party and someone talks shit about Gaston. And now she's going to be like, damn it, I'm going to be in trouble with him. So she's so frustrated and upset about that. She now has to lash out at everyone.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen that side of Gaston yet, so I can't really say. I mean, I thought his advice to her was pretty good. He's like, well, if you don't want to go, don't go. You don't need to kiss their ass. But he wasn't like, don't go. So I don't know, because is that that's coming from Sally. But I need to hear what Sally has to say about him first, because I can't really tell.
Sally's the only one I trust, honestly, about this. JT, I don't know why. JT just saying this to Taylor is also, I think it's actually rude, because he doesn't preface it with, listen, I know you're very happy right now with Gaston. He seems like a cool guy, but I just want you to know, like, I just want to, as your friend, I just want to warn you. I heard this stuff and I want you to consider it, and you can either dismiss it or you can think about it, but I feel like a shitty friend if I didn't tell you this. And I know that he had cheated with someone. Like, he didn't frame it like from a place of concern. He framed it like a I know something about this guy. And so, like, I kind of get why she's pissed too.
Well, yeah, because JT is, first of all, he acts like he's the douchebag hunter. He's like white knighting for all of these girls, but he's a simp. He just wants to bang the girl. He's already said that he's in love with her. So, of course, he's going to come for her boyfriend. And if he was a real friend, he would have called her. I mean, they haven't talked in how long? You could have just called the chick, but you wait until everybody's there and it's a cast moment on camera, which I get that it's a reality show and everything. I'm not stupid.
But even if it's on camera, like, to just take her to coffee and, like, have an intimate moment of, like, sharing and vulnerability, but, like, doing it in the kitchen and Shep is there and everything, where she can be set up for, like, group humiliation, you know, like, as much as, like, I don't think that Taylor should be with Gaston from everything it sounds like we're hearing about him, I don't think that JT was correct in the way he handled this at all.
And I know that Taylor tries to use big words because she dated Chet for a second, but diabolical, he's not being diabolical. he's not being diabolical. He's a douchebag, you fucking weirdo. So messy. Craig's like, well, Sally, you just got a stray bullet. And she's like, well, I told her his name would not be in my mouth. She has such an odd voice. I can't really get it yet. She hasn't said that much, but she has like kind of a way of talking. I'll get it one day. But she's like, I told her his name would not be in my mouth, and it's not been in my mouth since my party. And so then Taylor's telling Whitney, she's just going around. She seems panicked. She's like, he's diabolical. He's saying things about my boyfriend. Taylor, everybody's saying the same thing about your boyfriend. They all say he sucks. So
here comes a self-congratulatory monologue from JT. Well, I don't know if being an arbiter of truth makes you a bad person, but I do care about Taylor, her well-being, her future. I'm coming at this with no agenda for myself, only to make sure she proceeds with her own decision-making from here and that she has the information. Hashtag truth teller. Like, yeah, no agenda whatsoever.
He is kind of like Thomas Ravenel, where he's always running for mayor. Like,
yeah.
Am I the arbiter of truth? I hope thoughtfully she proceeds forward with the candid accuracy she'll need in this procedure to discover if this, like, why are you talking like that? And Taylor's like, he's making up shit. And she goes, yeah, he's making up shit about my boyfriend, like this one. And she points at Sally again. She's like, geez.
What the hell? So Whitney's like, oh, did you ask him where he's getting his information? She goes, I don't give a shit. He's pulling it out of his asshole. That's where he's getting it. That's not good. This is his place, and he can be an asshole in his own place. And he's like, I'm not an asshole. I'm just telling the truth. No, you're not. I'm not doing this. I'm sorry. Ronnie, I fell in the same trap. Too much emotion. No, you're not. I'm not doing this. I'm good.
He's being diabolical, and he's not stopping. So she leaves. And Sally's like, Jesus, what'd you say to her? And he's like, I'll tell you. She just doesn't know the extent of the relationship you had with Gaston. And it's messed up. It is messed up.
Well, what was the extent of it, Sally? Why do you hate him so much?
Well, Taylor thinks it was a summer fling. And Sally's like, we said I love you to each other. And then he's like, you know what it was, Sally. And Craig's like, why does it matter, JD? What's the point?
Which is exactly the truth. I mean, I agree with Craig on this point. So JT is like, well, it's one of those things where you were the other woman and it was a full blown affair. And Craig's like, wait, JT, which he's saying, Sally, you were the other woman. Like, you had an affair with this guy. So he's a cheater, right? Is what he's saying. So Craig's like, well, JT, why are you doing this again? It's not your business. Taylor's not your girlfriend, but she is my friend. And as the head of Simp Protector Everywhere, I must proceed with caution down this path of rivalry and thornery.
I really want to know who JT voted for, because he talks a lot about truth. So I'm just really, I'm really intrigued. So then JT is like,
I'm just trying to be truth social with you guys.
Truth. I'm about truth and social experiences. So Sally,
do your own research.
Sally's like, so what are you trying to say, that I homewrecked Gaston? He's like, you did. And she goes, look, I went to Royal American with my friend, which I don't know what Royal American is. Is that like is that amusement park, or is that like a cruise that like just only like circles around Charleston? But she's like,
it's that Kentucky castle that Brittany got married in. The Royal American. Royal menu classics include our 32-ounce punches, house-made beef jerky, house ground hamburgers and patty melt,
just a big
and
old
buffaletta sandwiches.
It's just a big old steakhouse. I thought it was like a theme park or a cruise. I literally did. Restaurant.
A good one. So, it's got 4.5 stars. Thank you very much. From 961 Google reviews. Finally came to this spot on a weekend, and when it wasn't super crowded, it was delicious. I loved the patty melt. Unfortunately, some slut stole my husband in the middle of my meal.
Sally. So Sally's like, okay, so I went to Royal American with my friend because it was 2-for-1 happy hour. We got 3 steaks, which was crazy. They don't really know how their math there, but it worked out well for us. Anyway, Gaston was there and he was touching my leg. Strange, because we weren't at the same table, but I had no fucking clue he had a girlfriend except for the girl he was with. And so one thing led to another, and we were just making out in the parking garage, and you know, I sucked his dick a little bit, kind of tasted like Bernays sauce, but hey, you know, it worked for me.
And Rod goes, not a little bit. I love that that Rod is just there to give like a little gay thing every once in a while. Not a little bit. So Sally's like, and then I found out he had a girlfriend, and I'm owning my shit right now. There, I found out, okay? And did I stop? No, I kept going because I was already hooked at that point. You have one Bernays penis, you're never going back. It's not an easy sauce to make.
Oh my god. In short, Sally went to this like cheesy, like it's basically like the Saddle Ranch of Charleston, blew Gaston in the parking lot, and then she's like, from there I was
left. You're right, Sally, sounds like true love to me. Jeez.
She's like, are you saying I was the other woman? I was not the other woman. I merely gave him a blow job at the steakhouse and had no idea he was with someone else. And when I did find out he was with someone else, well, I mean, obviously, naturally, I stayed because that was digmatized. So I'm not the other woman. I was just the digmatized woman.
It's not a different sin. I mean, it's the same sin. I didn't know it was a sin. So would it even count as a sin? I didn't know. And then the sin just continued because it was the original sin. What are you going to do? I kind of love Sally. She's like, it was true.
I love Sally.
I blew him in the parking lot of a steakhouse.
The Royal American.
That is so fucking funny. But also, fuck JT. Since when is he like, oh, I'm standing up for women, but then you're going to slut shame the woman? She wasn't in a relationship. He was. Fuck him.
Yeah, his fault. So Sally's like,
which I guess he is shaming him too. But leave Sally alone.
Yeah, leave Sally alone. Right. So Sally's like, you know, he broke up with his girlfriend and then me and him had a relationship and he met my dying grandmother at 96 years old. The last guy that she met in my life was him. Ha ha. I pulled the grandma card. Take that. So she basically is like, you don't know how much that guy scarred me. And Shep is like, what? But why would you hook up with him? He's not a good looking. He says he's not a good looking. Like, there's categories for Shep of types of people. They're a good looking. They're an ugly.
But also Shep, honestly.
But also Shep.
Hi. Hi. I don't know. Pots, kettles.
And they're like, what? And Shep is like, I mean, I'm just saying he looks mid, average, me-like. We're just going to sit in the thoughts of
what'd Shep. You say? I thought you paused. I came back onto the screen to see if our, what'd you say? Did I miss it? I
said he looks mid average. Me like.
Yeah. I thought you were going to,
we're just going to sit in the irony of Shep saying that Gaston is deeply average looking and shocking. That
Shep ugly shaming anybody is ridiculous. And then Vanita's like, oh my God, you said mid? Who taught you that? And he's like, who? Seriously, though? So Craig's like,
JT, this is everybody's problem with you. Like, because you say stuff and it has nothing to do with you and there's no purpose. Like, why would you, what would you like Sally to do in this moment? You know, now that you've brought up a whole bunch of shit that's not your business, like, what are you getting out of it?
And he's like, I think the truth would help Taylor get out of where she is and into my Airbnb where there is now a broken mini fridge. Who broke that?
Let me tell you something, JT. Taylor has been faced with the truth many, many, many times on the show, okay? She sees red flags, and she's not like a human and says, oh, I better have caution. She's like a bull and charges towards them. At a certain point, you just have to keep the truth to yourself and let her make her own mistakes.
Also, no one's going to fuck you, so just stop. She's not going to fuck you just because you're telling her her boyfriend's an asshole. That's not going to get you anywhere, so cut it out.
Yeah. So Craig is like, he's like, you're being such an asshole, dude. And now you're going to make us look bad for going fishing with you. Craig's worried about his fishing reputation.
It's all back.
So then
him.
Ryan.
He's like, that's on Instagram. The internet is forever.
So then Ryan decides to come out of nowhere and have a line. I'm still wondering how he got on the poster for this show. But he's like, Ryan, you can't do this to people's lives. And this is what I've heard that you've been doing to other people. And it feels very threatening. It's like, well, you got Ryan, that one out.
It was Ryan's turn at the school play. And like, we've been waiting all season. Like he shows up at things and he gets like his boyfriend, who's not even like technically on the show, has had more lines than Ryan. So Ryan's finally like, you're ruining people's lives. And so JT's like, oh, everything you said is eloquent and well articulated, except when it's the truth. And then JT's like, well, here's the deal. Sorry, Mr. Cute Fake Eyebrows and a Shitty Hairline Guy. I'm like, you're the one who's walking around with pit stains here, JT. So let's settle down.
JT's also a fucking beaver with plugs. I don't know who he's talking about either. All these guys ugly shaming on this show need to take a good, long, hard look at themselves. Okay. And exactly. He's like, not this. I'm gonna tell the truth on my friends, and that is period. And if you know someone's heading straight to a car accident and you could stop it, would you say something or would you let your friend get crushed? Well,
Craig goes,
I mean, I don't know. The car is always it's already driving. What am I supposed to do? Jump in a moving car? No, fuck that. They're the ones who didn't buckle their seatbelt.
You say it once, and if they don't notice that the car is coming down towards them, then they're done. So Vanita's like, well, she doesn't like it and isn't receiving it, so why do you keep pushing it? And he's like, well, a true friend will tell you the hard truth. But yeah, okay, that's fine. I hate when people say, like, I'm just being honest. You can be honest, you can tell hard truths, but you can also have a delivery that's a little bit more thoughtful. And that's what's missing here. So Vanita's like,
but it's just funny listening to Craig scream about it and have this big fit about it, because wasn't Craig's whole storyline last year or the year before trying to break up Taylor and Shep because Shep was emotionally abusive to Taylor? Wasn't that Austin and Craig's whole thing? Is that they were having talks with Taylor? Yeah.
Like, Craig is,
he's a real Craig piece is, of shit. Get away from him. So I don't
Craig
know.
Craig is the biggest hypocrite here. Craig is yelling at JT. JT is saying he's an arbiter of truth and he's going to stand up for the truth. And Craig is mad at JT for saying that when Craig is literally doing the same thing, but just aiming it towards JT. So, but his delivery is much better. And that's what it's all about. JT has terrible delivery. And so Vanita tells us that like when JT's alone, she gets Jared, not JT. And like, he's really tender and quiet. But then in the group, he becomes very performative.
Listen, I think you're getting the fake one when he's quiet. I think everybody else is. I think the real one is the performative one, as you probably found out when he ghosted you and started, you know, dating some chick on Instagram. But yeah, he's not nice. He's faking it. Men fake it in bed. They don't fake it out of bed. Yeah. You're getting the real one out of bed.
So JT is like, well, this is a good opportunity for me to speak my side of things. And a lot of what's been said about me in the friend group has been echoed. In error. So,
echoed in error. The JT story. The Jared T story.
It's echoed in error's tour. So Vanita then, of course, like whispers to Leva. She's like, JT looks kind of yummy in that shirt. Which means this is really highlights the fact that there are such slim pickings in Charleston that Vanita's lowered her bar so much that she's saying these things on camera.
Yeah, and Craig's like, I asked you to stay out of people's business unless it concerns you, and you promised me that you could do that.
What are you, the fucking mayor? What? Since when is Craig the leader of everything?
And he's
go back to your pillow
one.
Store, sir.
And Craig is so messy. So JT's like, well, it does concern me, Craig. Why don't you just have my back?
But she asked you not to tell her. It's not up to you. You made Taylor cry and Sally half cry.
Sally, cry more so I could have a double cry. Really embarrassing.
I'm trying, also, Craig. I'm really trying.
JT was kicked out of this group in the first place because of you, Craig. Not because of himself. You were the one who got him kicked out. And now you're the one who gets to decide whether or not he gets to come back in. He's such an asshole. Yeah. I don't care. He can have better delivery than everybody else, but he's such a fucking asshole.
Well, you're being a real good lawyer right now because you're protecting something I don't understand.
Well, why do you want to tear Sally down?
By the way, that's the first time Craig's ever been told that. You're being a really good lawyer right now.
I know. So JT's like, oh, Craig, you stick with it. You stick with that. It's like, this isn't the same person that we went fishing with earlier this week. I'm going to be in such trouble for fishing with you now. JT's like, I am happy and I am nice and I am kind and I'm just telling the truth.
He's like, deuces, I'm out of here. That's it, JT. And all the important boys are leaving with me.
So he like starts to leave, and then Whitney, you know, all the guys are like, we're leaving with Craig. And JT's like, that stuff's actually bullshit. That's the shit I got at the driving range right there. And Lev is like, wait, stop, Shep. I need you to stay. Shep, I want to know, did he call Miss Patricia a bad name?
I did not.
I never said the B word.
And yeah. She's like, Shep, did you hear it? And he's like, oh, I don't remember hearing that, but I probably couldn't hear it over the sound of my beating heart after I found the love of my life.
And so Whitney's like, Craig said you did say that. And JT's like, I did not call your mother the B word. I'm getting gaslit. So Whitney's like, mother. So he leaves because he, this like would actually also shatter the narrative that he's built in his head, I think, over the past few weeks. So he leaves. So Shep is like, Garsh, can I say something? I think you've told Taylor what a lot of people in her life are unable or unwilling to tell her. Unlike what I'm willing and able to tell my girlfriend, I love you, Sienna. Anyway, so this is the wake that her boyfriend has left. As far as women, nobody's like, oh, he's a good guy. And everyone's like, double middle finger, like, fuck you, you know? So you did that.
Again, Shep, Taylor is part of the wake that you've left behind of pissed off women. What are you talking about? These guys are so hilarious. So Shep's like, yeah, you know, I think that you're right, but there's different ways to skin a cat. By the way, next time on Boys Night, we should skin cats.
You've never skinned a cat? They can skin cats in Nebraska.
So get some hobbies, loser.
It really hurt me to have to hurt her. That's what a real friend does, though. And Shep's like, that's your takeaway? That you were upset? And Leva's like, Shep is saying it's not serving her right now. Also not serving her, any of my staff. Get back to work, idiots.
But the only thing making Taylor right now happy right now is Gaston, guys. And so JT's like, Leva, I'm not coming in on hot on you, but if I have a friend who's on heroin or alcohol, I'm not saying heroin or how alcohol makes you happy. I'm not going to turn a blind eye. I'm going to say, he's stop like, drinking. They just look at him like, well, what else did you do? He's like, I'm going to say, stop drinking. Stop doing heroin.
And Shep's like, but don't be a hammer about it. JT's like, why is everyone saying don't tell people the truth? What is this facade? It is just a facade where the truth is now. Like, now the truth is the bad guy. I live in a world where the truth is welcomed. So he's like, he's gonna walk outside because he's as a defender of the truth, he just can't bear to be in this house of lies.
He's such a jackass, this guy.
It's so ridiculous. And Vanita goes after her.
Yeah, Vanita runs after her yummy man. And he's like, I've had enough. I'm not going to sit in my own space knowing my truth, my heart, and knowing I'm a good man and being talked to like this by Craig. I'm a man of honor. I'm going to always be like that. I'll stand up to the bullies. I'll stand up to the mean girls.
Vanita's like, okay, can you give me a second to talk? Because you're just embarrassing yourself more on camera. Okay, to Craig's point, you guys had this good fishing trip, and now his feelings are hurt because you're doing something you said you weren't going to do. And he's like, I was real.
I'm so sorry for being real. What, are we going to start suing cheese, American sliced cheeses for being real? Well, I'm sorry. I will not stand it. I stand up for women. I stand up for men. I stand up for American cheese. Because that's the kind of man I am. An American cheese defender. And I will continue until the day I die down this path.
And Vanita's like, yeah, Taylor can't handle that. And at what point, like, when do you not make that be the thing that's driving the conversation? He goes, it was my first time telling her. Maybe next time I won't. But this time I told her the truth. And I'll tell any good friend that I care about. And Vanita's like, yeah, but like, if Taylor comes back again, are you going to say something to her like, I'm sorry, to clear the air so you're not outside the group? He goes, I don't care if I'm outside because I love you and I don't care. But I'm going to stand for goodness because that's the kind of God I am for you and all the people that are real. I will be a martyr for the truth and American cheese.
He's so ridiculous.
And he's like, no matter what happens to this friend group, I want you to know I ponder in pensiveness every day that I care about you, Vanita. I care about you. And she's like, well, the level of stress you provide. Hold on, let me take a drink of this.
I'm dying.
Craig comes around and saves her. It's like, damn it. Stime it again.
Oh, that's real. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode. Fun times. We've got Salt Lake City coming out this weekend, so keep an ear out for that. And we will see a bunch of you on the road. Thanks for being here. Talk to you in the next one.
Bye, y'allsies.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no less namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.